Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. One of the most disconcerting proposals for exploitation of ocean resources is deep sea mining. Access through extraction technology to material underwater beyond the grasp of the world's mining industry. One part of public opposition to the possibility is the demonstrated outcome of mining on land, the vast pits, the scarified landscape, the decapitated mountaintops, corrupted watershed, and chemical deposits that often make such sites designated wastelands, sometimes qualifying for cleanup by legislated superfunds, which may or may not be adequate to the problem or available. It does not take much imagination to visualize such destruction underwater. For me, one of the most surprising targets for ocean mining is sand, something one may assume to be ubiquitous on land. Consider beaches, for example, as an intervening supply, but one can also understand the prohibitive outcry should large earth-moving equipment suddenly one day arrive to scoop up the recreational potential of our coastal beaches. Far better to find a place far, far away from an inquiring public. Papua New Guinea, for example, where mining the seafloor can be undertaken at scale with no important impact of protesting society, the local villagers of that remote place without significance or power. This is, of course, the strategy of Nautilus Minerals, the sponsors of Solwara 1, a deep ocean mining experiment located at 1,600-meter depth in the Bismarck Sea, all within the territorial waters of, you guessed it, Papua New Guinea. The project has attracted enormous international interest. The principal, Nautilus, a Canadian company, sought numerous investors to include Anglo-American, a global extraction corporation with successful enterprise in the recovery of diamonds, copper, platinum, coal, iron, manganese, and nickel. Other investors include Metallo Invoice Holding, a Russian mining company, and MB Holding from Oman, providing bridge loans that, according to a recent press report, as of May 15, 2018, amount to $11.25 million at 8% interest. According to a press account on June 25th, USM Holdings, the ultimate parent holding company of Metallo Invest, registered in Cyprus, and controlled by Russian billionaires Alisher Yusimov and Vladimir Skoch, in the April 6 sanctions imposed by the United States, Vladimir Skoch's son was one of seven Russian tycoons sanctioned. Also in the past month, Anglo-American has divested its ownership share. Not information conducive to public confidence. At the outset, the project met, of course, with immediate growing opposition from national and international environmental groups such as Mining Watch Canada, the Mining Justice Alliance, and the Deep Sea Mining Campaign, as well as determined internal New Guinean testimony voiced at hearings and legal actions by the New Ireland community-based Solwara Warriors. Andy Whitmore of the Deep Sea Mining Campaign stressed, quote, "Anglo's decision to divest, on top of Nautilus's myriad problems, proves the company is running out of both credit and credibility. It's not just the company that is sinking, but the project and the concept of deep-sea mining itself," unquote. If that is the case, this defeat is both spectacular and welcome. But let's ask some questions about this situation. First, why is such a project necessary at all? Why would governments support economic development that is so destructive to other aspects of the local and national economy? Given any meaningful due diligence, how would government permit such risk in partnership with such risky investors? Second, what is the financial rationale for such investment? Serious shareholder value was placed as a long odds bet on a very hypothetical success. Russian oligarchs may not care, but presumably Canadian investors and financial oversight agencies do. The situation is rife with potential for fraud. Third, what will we learn from this fiasco? Will it be similar to Shell Oil's multi-billion-dollar loss in drilling for Arctic oil? Just another inconsequential footnote on the great global balance sheet, where profit and loss by natural resource exploitation is calculated and accounted for as a meaningless number without meaningful consequence. Finally, let's ask, what happens next? We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is distributed by the Public Radio Exchange and the Pacifica Network for use by college and community radio stations worldwide. Find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and at worldoceanobservatory.org.